You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears joined teams and sports across the country in canceling their practice on Thursday, sending a message of unity in the wake of police in Wisconsin shooting Jacob Blake. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today we will discuss the Chicago Bears' statement on racial justice and things the players have been saying in terms of unity and coming together, as well as the Instagram activity from Brian Urlacher that drew a lot of criticism. We'll also update you on David Montgomery's injury situation and how the Bears might survive without him for this limited time. And we'll wrap up with Kevin White's return to the NFL, look at where things stand with him and what we could still get out of Kevin White in his NFL career. I want to make one thing clear. The Chicago Bears' statement and the decision to cancel their practice is not a political statement. This is not politics. This is humanity, valuing life of everyone, equality, fairness, things that are innate to our society that everyone should want. This is not left versus right, although many people in politics on both sides of the aisle have tried to make it left versus right, but in reality, this is sports, athletes, black and white people coming together and saying, we see a problem in our world that needs to change. And it's not a problem with Republicans versus Democrats. It's a problem of some people being treated differently than other people, doing the same things and not having the same consequences. So the Bears canceled practice Thursday morning, and later in the day, they issued a statement on behalf of the players. It reads as follows, quote, "In the wake of what's taken place in our backyard of Kenosha over the last couple of days, we as a team have a lot on our mind today. We decided to pause our football activities to voice to each other, our coaches, and our staff where we stand on the real issues around race and police brutality in our country. We had a productive discussion, but we all agreed that talks and discussions are simply not enough anymore, and we need action. We are putting in plans to take action in our communities, and together we believe we can make a real difference. We need action not only today, but in the days to come." And many Chicago Bears players took to Twitter today and somewhat yesterday as well, all throughout, preaching this idea of unity. You know, Eddie Jackson said, "I love the unity we have as a team, staff, and organization." David Montgomery tweeted, "Alone we are nothing. Together we are everything." Tariq Cohen had a similar sentiment a little bit earlier. "Together we are inseparable." And Danny Trevathan tweeted, I believe, on Wednesday night, "It's like every other day, man. I'm so sick of the senseless killings of unarmed black Americans. To this day, we all we want is to be treated equal. Hashtag justice for Jacob Blake." I know for a lot of people, it's a conversation that they don't want to have with their sports. But unfortunately, sports and social justice and racial justice and these sorts of battles have been intertwined for a long time. Longer than I've been alive, longer than most of us have been alive. These two things are inseparable, just as the color of their skin is inseparable from their lives. That's why they say black lives matter, because it is not a choice for them to live as black people. That is who they are, and they have to deal with the oppression and the injustices that not only they experience firsthand, but they see in the world surrounding them. And it's a perspective that's difficult for those of us who have a different skin color. I'm a white person in particular. I've never experienced the type of fear, the type of oppression that black Americans have. And I never can experience the exact same feeling. And it makes it hard for us to have that true perspective. And it leads to things like what happened with Brian Urlacher on Instagram in particular. He had posted on his Instagram story some text comparing Brett Favre playing football after his father passed away to the NBA players protesting and canceling their playoff games after the shooting of Jacob Blake. And it was particularly focused on Jacob Blake's criminal record as well as the appearance of a knife in the area around Jacob Blake. And what Urlacher's statement doesn't seem to take into account was the natural causes causing Brett Favre's father's death versus Jacob Blake being shot at the hands of law enforcement officials intended to protect him. And Urlacher had also liked a controversial post on Instagram as well around this same topic, showing quite a bit of insensitivity based on what has happened in the world around him. He's allowed to have whatever opinion he wants to have, but he is not free from the consequences from expressing those opinions. And history is going to look back on Brian Urlacher and those who share similar views as being on the wrong side, hovering right on this line of racism, perhaps crossing the line. It's not a very clear line. It's blurry, but it's clear that Urlacher is encroaching upon that line with a pure lack of understanding about racial justice and the Jacob Blake situation. It's all about unity, compassion, empathy, and coming together rather than dividing. And we know the Bears will be back together again soon, back on the practice field before too long, and back to more real football progress as we look ahead to this 2020 regular season. We finally got a more concrete update on David Montgomery's situation. So up next on the podcast, we'll look at how the Bears might be able to game plan for the first game or two, if necessary, without David Montgomery in the lineup. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Speaking of lineups, Built Bar has a new lineup of flavors, and I have fallen in love again, and I'm just stunned how they found a way to take a delicious protein bar and somehow make it even better. Like, it was already delicious, and I couldn't stop eating them before, but they redid some of their flavors. They redid a little bit of their consistency in the middle, and it is just phenomenal. I cannot get enough. I've already had the caramel brownie and the cookies and cream, and they both taste exactly like you would think. It's kind of like the consistency of a chocolate-covered marshmallow, but it doesn't stick in your teeth the way a full marshmallow does. It's just perfect. It's sweet. It's delicious. It has 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. It sounds too good to be true, but when you taste it for yourself, trust me, you will know. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. The Bears are fortunate to have avoided the worst with running back David Montgomery slipping during practice on Wednesday, going down, hobbling, ended up not being any kind of dangerous knee injury, instead a groin injury, but the Bears were waiting on the results of an MRI to know the full extent there. And earlier Thursday morning, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport tweeted that David Montgomery is expected to be out 2 to 4 weeks, which gives him a chance of being able to play week one against the Detroit Lions. Some quick math will tell you that 2 weeks from Thursday is September 10th, which is, I believe, the opening of the NFL season, the first opening game, and then that first Sunday is the 13th when the Bears play the Detroit Lions, and then, of course, there are 2 weeks after that, week two against the New York Giants. They could pretty well, I think, get by without David Montgomery for those first couple of games at the very least, before then you get at Atlanta Falcons at home against the Indianapolis Colts, are maybe going to be slightly more difficult opponents than a couple of perhaps non-playoff teams, although, you know, we'll get more into the Detroit Lions later on, I'm sure, this preseason. But it's an interesting spot for the Bears to be in because it's not a long enough injury that you have to go get Devonta Freeman. You don't have to go get a new full-time number one running back. Maybe you want some sort of veteran depth in there just to give you another body, but you don't need to go sign somebody who's going to get 25 carries in week one. I think they feel like not only is there a chance David Montgomery could play, but you could get by a game or two. It looks like two would be the most at this point that David Montgomery would be out based on Ian Rappaport's reporting. So I thought it would be valuable to look at what this running game in particular might look like without David Montgomery in the mix, even on a short-term basis. Obviously, Tariq Cohen is the next one up on the depth chart, but he's never been a 25-carry-a-game type running back. I mean, somebody who's 5'6", 191 isn't necessarily made for that level of a workload. I mean, his big playability makes you want to have the ball in his hands as many times as possible. But the most carries he's ever had in a game was 14 as a rookie, and I believe the most carries he had in a game last season was 9, so it's not as though he's getting a dearth of opportunities there, but it is an opportunity for him to be a more dynamic threat in a bigger role, and it's not even necessarily give him more carries, but if defenses know he's your go-to top running back in this game, they're going to account for him more in the backfield as a true runner. So he can be a disguise there. The play action with Tariq Cohen in there becomes a little bit more effective because you're less assuming that, oh, he's just going to be the receiver on this play. And I think there's some possibility there to have some creative lineups where, because Tariq Cohen can play wide receiver, you can have him in the backfield with Jimmy Graham as like an 11 personnel type look with three receivers, one tight end, and one running back, or spread them all out and go with a 5-wide empty look and make defenses have to do some different things in preparation and in being able to cover all those guys while also being able to put enough guys in the box to stop the run. Because when we look at Tariq Cohen's most successful runs over the last few seasons, they tend to be more so out of the shotgun, because he tends to get more of his carries out of the shotgun. And the main concepts are, you know, that sort of outside zone stretch plays, either with a lineman pulling in front or just him reading the flow of the blocks and making that one cut and getting upfield. But we've also seen some of those be his worst runs that are stopped in the backfield, where someone's able to knife through one of those blocks and Tariq Cohen doesn't really have much space to go. It's that and the draw plays, really, that have seen the most room for Tariq Cohen to kind of slip through a little bit and break away for some big-time runs downfield. It was similar for Cordarrelle Patterson with the New England Patriots as a running back, like we talked about previously on the podcast. A lot of outside zone, but those run more from the I formation with a fullback in front of him. But I could clearly see less of a downhill running style for the Bears offense in terms of scheme and identity without David Montgomery in the game. You can do some things with Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson running into the line of scrimmage a little bit more north-south, because then when they do break through, they can really break through and run away from the big pile in the middle, and the linebackers aren't exactly always flowing all in their direction the same way they are for some of these horizontal runs. But clearly you want these guys in space. And you can see where, you know, you work some play action off of that outside zone, some rollouts. You can develop a game plan for a week or two where you really get a lot of movement laterally. It's not the kind of thing that you can necessarily keep up for a full season without David Montgomery. You want somebody to pound between the tackles a little bit and keep defenses honest, make sure that they have guys in the box and they can't just load up on the edge. But week one against the Lions, I think you can survive. Week two against the Giants, I think you can do it a couple of times and make defenses get used to you always moving sideways, and then you can kind of switch it on them, hit them down the middle a little bit more, and make sure that you're always staying one or two steps ahead of what the defense is trying to do. I think you can get by with, you know, 10 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson, 10 carries for Tariq Cohen, maybe get Ryan Nall in there for some goal line work and just some of those more between the tackles heavy personnel type runs. You can craft a running game here, plus the different things you can do with Patterson and Cohen as receivers. Get them both on the field. They can go like 5 wide receivers, or they can both be in the backfield, run some triple option with them. There's a lot of different things you can get creative with that, again, maybe aren't a season-long strategy, but a week or two without David Montgomery, they're okay without an outside free agent. In other free agent news, Kevin White is back on an NFL roster. Long time no see for the former Chicago Bears first-round pick. So we'll update you on what he's been up to since he left Chicago and what the future might hold. Next on Locked On Bears. We don't have to rehash everything Kevin White went through with the Bears. We know how the injuries limited so much of what he wanted to do and brought such a disappointment to the massive amount of potential and talent that he had coming out of West Virginia. The Bears ultimately let him go once his rookie contract expired, and that pretty well signaled the end of Kevin White in Chicago. And we were wondering how long his career might go after that, but pretty quickly, right away, last offseason at the beginning of free agency, not right away at the beginning, but early on, it was March when the Arizona Cardinals signed Kevin White. And it wasn't just a veteran minimum deal. There were some incentives in there to get him up to like $1.5 million. There's still that potential in Kevin White to do some of the things that we saw at West Virginia that made him so good. But he did not last through the end of last year's training camp when teams had to do that first round of cutdowns. The Arizona Cardinals released him about a year ago, just last week, and it was revealed that he had kind of been dealing with a lingering hamstring injury, which is not surprising, but just, you know, it's sad and it's unfortunate for a guy like Kevin White that even, you know, a new change of scenery and getting out of Chicago a little bit, new coaching staff, new offense, kind of just fresh start in Arizona, couldn't be a complete fresh start from injuries. Ended up sitting out the entire 2019 season. And then it was actually just last week, a week ago Thursday, that White had a tryout with the New York Jets. And then he did something similar with the San Francisco 49ers, and they gave him a contract. Kevin White back on an NFL roster. They signed him and a wide receiver with the best name, one of the best names in the NFL, River Craycraft is excellent name. But White getting another opportunity to show some of that potential. And a year removed from that minor hamstring injury, there's no way he's anything but 100% healthy in San Francisco right now. The question is, does he even have enough time to show them enough to stick around beyond just this essentially a training camp tryout at this point? And I would bet, I mean, yes, the 49ers are struggling at the wide receiver position right now. They had Travis Benjamin opt out. They have Jalen Hurd on injured reserve. Deebo Samuel's got a non-football injury list. Richie James as well, I believe, there. They used their first-round pick on Brandon Ayuk, you know, a rookie wide receiver that can do some things for them. They've got Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, Trent Taylor, Tavon Austin also brought in some guys that are solid but aren't, you know, top of their class type solid. So there's room on this 49ers depth chart for somebody like Kevin White if he were to do everything possibly right to shine throughout these practices, pick up the offense super quickly, and maybe, just maybe, fight his way onto the roster. But what this feels more like to me is the opportunity to stash him on this year's expanded practice squad. I mean, given the player that we saw coming out of West Virginia, a guy who ran, I think, a 4.35 40-yard dash at the combine. I know that's not a direct translation to the NFL, but we saw him make some big plays downfield in college. The issue was a limited route tree and route running and maybe some discipline in that regard, but he could win with speed and size, and those are the things you can't teach in the NFL. Great vertical jump, great broad jump, explosiveness, speed, all the things you want out of a top 10 pick at wide receiver. And it's always the same question, right? If he can stay healthy. And it's not only if he can stay healthy to be on the field in the regular season, but can he stay healthy enough in practice to have the development that he wants in between games to then step out on the field and be productive? Because, you know, we saw the big Hail Mary last time he was with the Bears against the New England Patriots. That, I don't remember if it was the last play of the half or last play of the game, where he caught it on the 1 yard line and was so close to the end zone. The natural ball skills, the jumping ability, the explosiveness is still there, even through all of the other injuries he's had. There is still, believe it or not, reason to believe Kevin White, if healthy, can be a contributing NFL wide receiver. It makes sense for a team like the 49ers in a situation that they find themselves in where they could really use some more bodies there and would like to have something more than other undrafted free agents cycling around. It makes sense why you would take a flyer, a zero-risk flyer, on a player who had almost 1,500 yards and 100 catches and 10 touchdowns his last year at West Virginia and still has something in the tank. I mean, the guy's 28 years old. He's not over the hill by any means. He's dedicated with his body. He's had to be for the last, 4 or 5 years as he's gone through all of this. And San Francisco is a very friendly offensive system, one where Kyle Shanahan makes it very easy on his quarterbacks. They have a very consistent identity and scheme where everyone kind of knows how it's supposed to go and how it's supposed to work, and they execute it flawlessly, and they get receivers open even if they're not pristine route runners just by running great concepts, some great play action, some different disguises in different ways that, you know, George Kittle takes a lot of attention over the middle of the field. There's room for a wide receiver and multiple wide receivers to be successful in that offense. So I wish Kevin White all the best, and I hope he can still get his career together. He's never going to be the elite number one wide receiver at this point that we thought he could be in the NFL draft, but there's no reason he couldn't still be a guy that is a contributing wide receiver. And I think even a smaller role like that, a number three, a number four, could be better for him in terms of durability, just because you don't necessarily want to throw 1,000 snaps in front of him and make sure that, you know, he has to take those hits and run all those routes and put that pressure on his knees and lower body in particular that have been an issue throughout his career. But of course, one of the big things for him to be able to make a roster at this point is to do special teams during the preseason and stuff like this. It was not something he was asked to do early on in Chicago. He did a tiny bit of it by the end of his tenure, but not much outside of that 2018 season. I imagine that's something he's been working on in his year out of football last season and so much of the missed time that he's had in his career. I'm rooting for him. I'm pulling for him, and I'm hoping that the 49ers can be the stop where it finally all comes together for him health-wise. Always good to check in on an old friend like Kevin White on the podcast. We always keep in touch with the notable Bears, both current and past, and keep you up to date on all of the latest things happening with this team, too, as well. But I thought we'd lighten it up a little bit to end our week here. We'll be back next week, as hopefully the Bears are also back at practice next week. We'll have all the latest updates. Hopefully no new severe injuries or anything that we'll have to update you on, but hopefully some progress in these roster competitions. Quarterback in particular, maybe we'll have a little bit more of a concrete update than we've had so far of just speculation on Foles plays better one day and Trubisky plays better the next. We haven't had a lot specifically to report that's helpful, but I'm hopeful as we get closer to the regular season, we will have more of that. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy your weekend and find some time to bear down.